All rise. Court is now in session. Please sit back, relax, and prepare yourself for the big split with Katie and Valerie. We are live coast to coast in 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hi, I'm Katie.
And I'm Valerie.
Welcome to the Big Split Podcast, where we talk about divorce disasters.
This week, we have a good one. We're talking about Charlie Sheen and Denise Richards.
I don't think there's anybody in the world who doesn't know who Charlie Sheen is.
I think the first time I saw him was on Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
One of the craziest things that I know about Charlie Sheen is that he actually tried to find the Loch Ness Monster.
He Seriously?
Yeah, and he thought he was going to be the person to discover it.
How long did he pursue this for?
He took his private jet, flew to Scotland with a group of his friends. They took a boat, they put a hook on the front of the boat, put a whole leg of lamb on it, like the movie Jaws, and they were hunting the Loch Ness Monster.
The craziest excuse to have a boat party I've ever heard.
He talks about how they took tons of booze, they went out on the lake in Inverness, and just waited for like 3 days.
That's hilarious.
I know.
Just drunk. Let's go catch the Loch Ness Monster.
And he told like Jay Leno, like, I'm going to find it. I'm going to be the one to discover it. Just crazy Charlie Sheen.
Well, before we start talking about their divorce, I want to talk about this book that's out here on the table. This is a second edition Advanced Dungeons and Dragons Player's Handbook.
That my mother-in-law brought over from my husband's personal library from when he was a little boy.
Well, were the boys going through it over the weekend trying to figure out how to play old school Dungeons and Dragons?
They got it out, I feel like, to make fun of their stepdad for owning a Dungeons and Dragons handbook.
They probably don't realize that this is not even a video game. Like, we used to do shit with the board and dice. This one was advanced. It had cards involved, too, and things had powers. Back to Charlie Sheen, you know, I do think about the first time I saw him in that movie. But the other thing that I think everybody thinks, too, is his burnout. Robert Downey Jr., he had a lot of struggles, and he handled his shit. He came back, and he's amazing. I mean, he's an amazing actor. I think everybody's waiting for Charlie Sheen to do that. I mean, he's destroyed himself in Hollywood.
I don't know if he'll ever make a comeback. You're right. His career went down in flames. Oh,
like,
my
have
gosh.
You seen him do anything? He's just not moving on from that.
I don't know if he ever can move on from that. To me, Charlie Sheen epitomizes the dark Hollywood and what can happen to people when their whole life, they grew up in Hollywood. It just changes your perspective of life somehow. There's just a darkness surrounding Hollywood actors and actresses. They get themselves into trouble, and that is Charlie Sheen.
You know, we do see actors and actresses doing their job and then going home and still maintaining a decent life for themselves and their family, but he cannot get that done.
He cannot. It's like Kelly Clarkson epitomizes the bright side of Hollywood, Tinseltown and La La Land, and Charlie Sheen is the darkness that Hollywood can bring into your life. Do you know how Hollywood even got started?
How?
It all started from a couple from Kansas.
Really?
Yes.
A couple from Kansas made Hollywood, Hollywood.
Exactly. It's the craziest story. There was a couple, Harvey and I think it's Daida Wilcox. Harvey, her husband, is 30 years her senior. He was a businessman and a real estate developer in Kansas. They decided to move to California. This is at a time when the railroad was finally finished. People were able to move about the country. They took a chance and decided to buy land just outside of LA. It was a desert outside of LA at this point.
There was nothing there then.
There was nothing there. I Googled it, and back then it was $125 an acre.
Wow.
Now it's $3 million for a half acre.
That's ridiculous.
In the Santa Monica Valley. His wife, Deidre, she wanted to be a socialite. She wanted to start her own town. And back then, that's something that you could do. You could go someplace and homestead, build a farm and build a community and start businesses. That's what these two had dreams of doing. In the valley, there were all these holly trees. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we say we name farms and estates and neighborhoods. She decided to name it Hollywood for all the holly trees that lined the valley.
I don't even know where you dug that up from, but that's a really cool story.
And that's where Hollywood got its name. In the 1900s, at that time, it was just silent films. It was Charlie Chaplin. Mm-hmm. And then in the 1930s, when this couple finally got their town kind of up and running, that was at a time when sound was just being added to movies. So like Casablanca.
And they were doing that in Hollywood.
Instead of like billboards, you know, right. or advertising, they put up that big Hollywood sign. For some reason, just attracted people from the movie industry to come and start to make movies there.
That's really cool. Good for them.
And that's how Hollywood got started.
Isn't it amazing what people just say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go make a town.
It's amazing when you say, I have a dream and I want to follow my dream. And then you accomplish something so amazing. It's a really cool story.
Let's talk about Charlie Sheen. Where was he born? Where did he grow up?
Charlie was born in 1965 in New York City. Everyone knows who his family is. His dad is Martin Sheen. And Martin was son of a factory worker from Dayton, Ohio, who moved to New York City to become an actor. It's so sad. His dad was this factory worker who saved all this money to put him through college. And Martin decided he didn't want to go to college and take the money that his dad had worked so hard to save for him. And he went to New York to try to make it as an actor.
But as parents, we're always like, go try it. I'm here if you fuck up and just come back and we'll start over. So
it was right at the time of the Vietnam War. And Martin Sheen was a huge activist against the Vietnam War. He was arrested 60 times in his life for protesting the Vietnam War.
That's crazy. I mean, now you just get killed. But it was actually a really cool time that people could go out and gather and say what they wanted to say. And that's so difficult in this time.
It's not like that this day and age.
No.
It's completely different than it was in the 60s. After not making it as an actor in New York City, he moved out to California. He got married. He had children. And we all know who the kids are. Charlie Sheen, Emilio Estevez, and his brothers and sisters. When Martin moved to California and was getting into the acting scene, he had to change his name from Estevez to Sheen because of the racism that he was facing having last name Estevez.
And it's crazy because that's just a name, it's a word.
It's sad to me that he had to do that. Charlie was the only kid that followed in his footsteps of changing his last name from Estevez to Sheen, but all the other kids kept their names Estevez. I feel like they have a huge successful career.
I love how he has kept his career going. I mean, he's up there in age and he's still doing it. Like, he's funny. And he's a great actor.
Charlie Sheen grew up on the sets while he was starting to make it big. And that was at a time in the 60s when drugs and alcohol were everywhere. Every extra was drunk and doing drugs, smoking cigarettes on the set. The actors were doing that. Charlie was just thrust into this lifestyle where everywhere he turned and everywhere he looked, people were doing drugs and alcohol.
And if it's right there and everybody's doing it, I'm sure that he started picking it up even when he was too young and wasn't supposed to.
Child actors and actresses of that era, you listen to Drew Barrymore talk and Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, same story.
Same story. Johnny Depp, mm-hmm. I mean, all of it. They were trying drugs and smoking cigarettes when they were 10 years old. Yeah. By the time they were 12, they were getting drunk. And by the time they were in their teens, they were trying hardcore drugs.
Mm-hmm. And it was just the thing to do.
And that's when I talk about the dark side of Hollywood. It's really hard for children to grow up around all that and not be a product of that environment.
Mm-hmm. It was always bring your kid to work day. What the fuck? Like, why were all these kids there?
It should not have been bring your kid to work day. I guess when I think of Charlie Sheen, I don't really think of him as a child actor.
I think childhood actors to me is like Lindsay Lohan. She was so little when she came out. Drew Barrymore. She was a baby.
On E.T.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, the queen of child Hollywood actors is Shirley Temple. You talk about the dark side of Hollywood.
Wasn't she the first?
I think she was the first. She was even bigger, I would say, than Mickey Mouse.
She was everything. She was in so many movies. And she was tiny.
She was 3 years old during the 1930s. There was no regulation in Hollywood. They were exploiting children. It was disgusting what they were doing to these kids. I read that when they had children on set, if they were acting up or misbehaving, they would set them on blocks of ice if they didn't do what they told them to do, and then do it again if they told their parents. It was awful.
If that were my child, I would be there. My child is three. I'm not going anywhere. Sorry.
No, it wasn't like that back then. I want to show you a clip of Shirley Temple in one of the movies that she did.
What's her part in the movie?
It's called Burlesque Babies, and basically she plays a prostitute. They were sexually exploiting children back then.
At like three?
Three. Yeah, 3 years old. Let me play it for you.
How do you like my baby?
That's crazy. Everybody should look it up and look at it. In this country, we're so bent on not remembering our past. People need to look back and say, that was fucked up. Glad we don't do that anymore, because you should never put a child in that position.
No, and people were appalled, and that's actually what prompted the industry to regulate. So in 1934, Hollywood established the Hays Code. It's basically the Motion Picture Production Code, and they established very strict Catholic morals.
The fact that it's like strict Catholic morals, I mean, that's so 1900 though, you know, early 1900s, stick a religion on it.
You're right. I think it's so funny how we went from having Hollywood be totally risque and trying to push the bounds of what people are watching in movies to, okay, to clean it up, we're going to stick some Catholic moral code on you.
Has anybody met Catholics? I'm Catholic. Has anybody met a Catholic?
I was going to clean it up, put a lot of guilt on your ass.
Right. And bring your drinks.
Yeah.
And we're going to fight later.
Yeah. So it wasn't until 1968, that's when we get the ratings that we're familiar with. That's when Hollywood changed to PG, PG-13, and rated R.
Which makes more sense.
It's better, but it's still not great.
Do you remember Faces of Death?
No.
What the fuck? And I watched all that stuff. That is disgusting. You can really put absolutely anything out there.
There is a dark side of Hollywood. It was there when it started, and it's still there now.
Yeah, which brings us right back to Charlie Sheen.
Exactly. Charlie is bipolar, and part of the problem with Charlie in Hollywood is that his mental health combined with his drug addiction made his whole life a mess.
I do think sometimes, though, that drug addiction can cause some breakdown and some mental health issues. Maybe his behavioral problems are a result of everything that he's done throughout his life.
It's kind of like the egg before the chicken or the chicken before the egg. Bipolar is a genetic disorder, so there's always that genetic predisposition to it. But you're right. Sometimes drug and alcohol abuse can make you bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people use drug and alcohol as a way to cope with being bipolar. I mean, more than half of the people with bipolar disorder treat themselves with alcohol and drugs.
Right. And once you start doing that, you can't come back from it. There's no like, I can do this sometimes and then I can do something else other times. You end up being all in and you destroy yourself.
Well, Charlie has the trifecta. He's genetically predisposed to bipolar disorder. He has childhood trauma. He's a drug addict and an alcoholic.
And he has a ton of money to do whatever he wants. So and it's probably not going to go too well for him.
Right. Add millionaire onto that.
And he was super cute when he was young. So he had women just coming at him left and right.
I know. I hear people tell him all the time since he was just paying for prostitutes. They're like, why? Women are throwing themselves at you in Hollywood. Why are you paying for
it? Why are you doing that? Like, there's a beautiful girl at the grocery store and she would love to go out to dinner with you. What are you doing?
I don't think he just wanted to go out to dinner. That was the problem.
Right. But they probably do that too.
True. Charlie is definitely bipolar one. There's bipolar one and bipolar two. Bipolar one, the difference is there's mania involved. Bipolar disorder is a mood disorder where you have highs and lows. Bipolar two is mainly depressive state.
Like the deep depression.
The deep depression. Yeah. Charlie is definitely bipolar one. You can see in that year that he fell apart, he was in complete mania.
Yeah, he was. Well, he would be like, no, this is great. Everything's fine and everything is perfect. And then, you know, fuck this and I hate everybody.
I remember that when he was saying all that stuff. I actually have it.
You do? I want to hear that.
I know. Let's hear him.
Your anger and your hate, I think, is coming off as erratic to people.
Passion. My passion. It's all passion.
Okay, your passion is coming off as erratic
right.
to people.
Right. Well, you borrow my brain for 5 seconds and just be like, dude, can't handle it. Unplug this bastard. Yeah, because it fires in a way that is... I don't know, maybe not from this particular terrestrial realm.
I think some of those things that you're putting out there are making people think something's wrong with you.
That has nothing to do with me, really. I mean, they're entitled to, I suppose, interpret stuff as they must.
Some
what
are,
doctor of? What
some
are
saying
of?
That you're bipolar.
Wow, what does that mean?
I guess that, you know, you're on two ends of the spectrum.
Wow, and then what? What's the cure? Medicine? make me like them? Not gonna happen. I'm bi winning. I win here and I win there. Now what? If I'm bipolar, aren't there moments where a guy like crashes and like in the corner, like, oh my God, it's all my mom's fault? Shut up. Shut up. Stop. Move forward.
When was the last time you used?
I use a blender. I use a vacuum cleaner. I use, household items. When was the last time I ingested or took drugs?
Yes. When was the last time you took drugs?
Such an AA stupid expression or term. I don't remember. I do not remember.
A week ago, 2 weeks ago, 2 days ago.
6 weeks. I don't know. It was a couple days before the suits rolled in and said, change it. Change everything. We're shutting you down.
Tell me about the last time you took drugs.
The last time I took drugs, I probably took more than anybody could survive, you know.
What are we talking about? How much?
I don't know, man. I was banging 7-gram rocks and finishing them because that's how I roll. I have one speed. I have one gear. Go.
How do you survive that?
Because I'm me. I'm different. I just have a different constitution. I have a different brain. I have a different heart. I have a different, you know, I got tiger blood, man.
You don't worry that you're going to die when you take that many drugs?
Dying's for fools.
But you're only human.
Now, there's certain blends I will not entertain because that's how people go down. I'm too smart to do that. So, you know, I'm sorry for the guys that happened to, but, you know, you should have read the directions before you showed up.
Well, there's a lot of things to talk about from that clip. Like, one, he has some interstellar brain, whatever he said. That's ridiculous. He needs to think about what he's saying and turn it into words that people are not going to think he's crazy if he says them. Like, I have a lot of thoughts. I have a lot of things on my plate, a lot of things that I have to deal with. That can be heavy sometimes. Okay, say that. Don't be like, my brain is from another planet.
I know. When I first watched that interview that he did, I thought he must be on drugs. I mean, he must be on cocaine. But you look at him and his pupils are not dilated. He's not high on anything. He's in mania. It's affecting the way that he thinks. He thinks that he is superhuman. His disease is making him think that he's invincible. And he has tiger blood running through his veins that is making him a superhuman.
So how in the world, through all of this, did he manage to get married? Ever.
He was in and out of rehab his whole life. His
really?
Parents, yes, his parents, his family members staged interventions for him. People were trying to get him help. There were periods in his life where he was sober and he was able to function. He was married 3 times, actually.
That's crazy. Was Denise Richards his first wife?
Denise Richards was his second wife.
Oh.
He actually married Donna Peel in 1995. And they got divorced just 6 months later in 1996 because she found out that he was sleeping with prostitutes. And
oh, my God.
I know.
Wait, back to what you said. Why the prostitutes?
I know. And do you remember the Heidi Fleiss scandal?
I do.
That's what got him into trouble with his first wife.
I didn't know that he was involved in that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's crazy because his wife is a model. And how old was she? Probably like 22.
I don't know, but I'm sure she was young and beautiful. So after that, he married Denise Richards. And we're going to get into that whole divorce disaster. Right after Denise, he married Brooke Mueller. It's also another divorce disaster.
I do think that Denise Richards is an actual love of his life, even though he totally fucked it up. They just end up finding their way back to each other and wedging themselves back into each other's lives.
I think the luckiest Charlie Sheen has ever gotten in his whole life was marrying Denise Richards and having somebody like that on his side, because even though they get divorced, she still throughout his whole life is a rock.
I mean, God bless her. Please, let's have a conversation. Tell me how you do it, because I think that she's amazing to him. So she must have love for him in her heart.
And I think she understands that Charlie Sheen, he just has a disease. He's just mentally ill. It's not who he is on the inside. It's just a part of him that he has trouble managing. And she doesn't hold him accountable for that and loves him anyway.
I can't even remember the first time I saw her. Like, I remember Charlie. I don't remember the first time I saw her.
Let's see. She did a few cameos. She was in Saved by the Bell in 1990. She was in Married with Children for a little bit.
Really?
Yep. She was on Doogie Howser.
Oh, I remember that.
Uh-huh. Do you remember Doogie Howser?
I do.
I love that show. And then Beverly Hills 90210.
I see her there.
So between 1990 and 1996, she was just doing some small roles.
Yeah, she hit a lot of good ones there, though. She got some good exposure.
She did. She, right out of high school, she tried to make it as a model. She was actually on the cover of Teen magazine. She's beautiful and she's talented. And her first breakout role was Starship Troopers in 1997, which was a huge blockbuster.
It was.
She was a Bond girl. She played a nuclear physicist. She, in that movie, she played Christmas Jones.
What a name.
Do you remember all the Bond names?
No.
Oh my God. Okay, so there's Pussy Galore.
Oh God.
Okay. Holly Goodhead.
Oh shit. Are you serious? Yeah. These are in the movies?
Yeah. Plenty O'Toole. Xenia on top.
Oh God.
Xenia on top.
A man was obviously writing this shit.
Right. Right. The Bond girls always had those crazy names. It was just so cool that Denise Richards is a Bond girl. I
like
love
my
that.
Sidekick is Holly Goodhead. Like what?
I know. Have you watched the Austin Powers movies?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Oh my God. He did the parody of the James Bond movies. One of the characters in his movie was Pussy Galore. That was his Bond girl. And Fuka Yu and Fuka Me.
Fuka you.
We're the Japanese twins.
I'm totally going to use that.
I love it. Where she met Charlie was while they were filming Good Advice in 2000.
And see, I don't remember that.
He plays a hotshot broker and she plays his shallow girlfriend, but they don't actually hook up here.
That's interesting for him.
Right? That's different than the typical Hollywood movie stars that we see fall in love on set. They meet, but they don't start dating. They don't start dating until she guest stars on Spin City in 2001 when Charlie's filming Spin City.
Maybe he was trying to hold back a little. Maybe he was a little bit intimidated by her.
Right?
Because she's beautiful.
And she has her shit together, and she's super stable. And she's not the typical Hollywood movie star. She is like Kelly Clarkson type.
Yeah, she has it together.
Yes.
You know, men love the chase, and maybe she made him chase.
Oh, I'm sure she did. Denise said that she knew he was the one after their second date.
She said that he was the one after their second date.
She didn't really know him.
Going back to what I said before, what we were talking about is they really have love for each other. I mean, obviously, she really loves him. I mean, that's one of those encounters where you meet somebody and then you're like, oh my gosh, and you're just fluttery and just, you know, it's just love.
When you know, it's true. I have experienced that. I completely understand.
You don't know who it's going to be, and it's never who you think it is going to be.
When Denise meets Charlie, Charlie's sober. He's gone through rehab. He's cleaned himself up. The Charlie that Denise is meeting and getting to know is clean and sober Charlie.
They were engaged really quick, weren't they?
They were engaged just a year after they met. Charlie had really sold Denise on the fact that he had left that lifestyle behind him, that he had changed his life. He wasn't going to go back to that lifestyle anymore. She really thought that was going to happen for Charlie. In 2002, Charlie and Denise get married. They'd only been engaged for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
In 2003 is when Charlie starts Two and a Half Men.
Oh, everybody loves that show.
He moved from doing movies into television. Charlie Sheen just became mega famous for Two and a Half Men.
He did, and it's strange because usually you go from TV to movies, and that's where you really hit it big. He gained most of his notoriety with Two and a Half Men.
That's typically the way it goes. People do television series and then decide that they want to make it big in movies. Charlie, he went the opposite direction, which worked for him. And I think Two and a Half Men really set him back. He played this party boy and he started to slip into his old ways. Didn't you think he was drunk and high on that show?
I do. And you're right. I mean, it was just kind of a bachelor guy who had tons of money and a house on the beach. He had all these women. And maybe that did spin him back into his old Charlie.
I think it was a trigger for him. I think that playing actually who he was in real life triggered him to...
Yeah, brought everything right back up.
Brought everything right back up. I agree. Charlie did Two and a Half Men for 8 seasons, and by his final season, he was making $2 million an episode. Just 4 years after they got married, they have a daughter. They have a little girl named Sam. Denise is... She's kind of put her career on hold, and she does guest star a couple times after her daughter's born in Two and a Half Men, and she plays his ex who comes back into his life in multiple episodes. And I feel like this is foreshadowing. She should have listened to the signs when they cast her as
she should have. This is my future self.
Right? I wonder if she thought that when she was playing that role.
Well, it didn't take her too long to figure out that was the life she was going to have because they didn't stay together for too long.
They did not. Denise filed for divorce in 2005. They were only married for 5 years, and she's 6 months pregnant when she files for divorce. You know it's bad if you're filing for a divorce when you're 6 months pregnant.
Yeah, that's a hard time. And I mean, I don't even know how she got through that.
At that time in 2005, Charlie had just slipped. He was back using prescription drugs. He was having probably manic episodes. He was doing hardcore drugs. And she catches him looking at all sorts of pornography on their home computer. I mean, little boys and little girls is what she accuses him of.
That's so disgusting. And I think that she did the right thing. You can't tolerate that in a marriage. It's not healthy. It's not safe for your children.
It's not safe for your children. No matter how much Denise loves Charlie, there is no denying that he was not safe to be around children. No. I think the accusations of Charlie looking at child pornography gained some merit because he was accused of raping a 13-year-old boy in 1986. He was accused of raping Corey Feldman.
You're kidding.
No.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm.
Corey Feldman actually made a documentary about it. Charlie Sheen denies these allegations even today, but Corey Feldman is adamant that he was raped by Charlie Sheen.
I'll have to look for that documentary. That's crazy. Corey Feldman was a huge actor when he was in his teens.
Wasn't he hanging out with Phoenix River?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was in that crew.
In that crew, yeah.
So she was pregnant when they got divorced, but she had her daughter before their divorce was final.
She did. She had Lola in 2005. She had separated from Charlie, filed for divorce. They were separated. Things were just bad. Just a couple months after her daughter's born, Denise files a restraining order against Charlie because he threatened to kill her.
You know, that was a dark time for him. If he was really spiraled down and in this really dark phase, I'm sure that he just exploded.
We already saw that clip of Charlie when he's in mania. So I have a really good picture in my mind of probably what Denise was dealing with and how scared she was for him to be around these two little babies. A judge ruled that Charlie had to keep 300 feet away from Denise. During this period of time, the judge says, okay, you're going to have supervised visits with your children. That's what goes on for a long, long time for Charlie and Denise. Denise talks about in interviews that there is no chance that after that she's going to get back together with Charlie, no matter how much she cares about him. She's worried about her safety. She's worried about the safety of her children. So she asked the court in 2007 for a bifurcation. And we see this so many times in Hollywood. She wants the judge to rule that she's legally single, that she's free to date and marry other people, but they're still working on the terms of their divorce.
You know, they shouldn't be tied to be legally married for as long as they end up. I mean, divorces drag out for so long.
Hollywood divorces drag out for so long, and this is exceptionally long. This point in 2006, Charlie has supervised visits with his daughters. Denise has physical custody of them, and they're trying to figure out custody of their kids. This is where I feel like Denise is really smart. She's not making things terrible. She's not causing all this drama. Charlie's off on benders and having sex with whoever he's having sex with. And we see him mania during this time. While their divorce is getting finalized, the judge grants Denise physical custody of the girls, and Charlie has to pay $25,000 a month or $300,000 a year to Denise while they're working things out.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I mean, actually, that's not a lot of money. I mean, he was making $1 million an episode and he's only giving her $300,000 a year.
So he's working things out with Denise. Denise is bringing the kids to see Charlie while he's in different places, filming different movies. They actually go and have a therapist at a hotel. Mm-hmm. And that's where he does supervised visits. So she's super nice to him. She's flying all over the country, at least letting him see his children in a supervised visit scenario.
Yeah, but she wasn't fighting it. She was trying to facilitate it.
Right. I don't know what was taking him so long to work out the divorce. The terms of the divorce, I feel like it should have just been, okay, sign
just cut and dry
the documents and go. But it was, you know, it was dragging on. I feel like she was dragging her feet because she did really love him, even though she knew she couldn't be with them. I feel like it was because she really loved Charlie.
Let's face it, when you're leaving somebody and it's your spouse, you have had great love for them before. And it's like you spend so much time waiting for them to be good and to be right and to be a good person to you and to your family. And
that person that you remember,
yeah.
You know who that Charlie can be that person for her. And she's probably just thinking, maybe if he gets sober, then he'll be this person again.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen.
No. No.
No. The reason why I think that their divorce wasn't just signed and over with was because Denise still had feelings for Charlie, and I think that even though she knew their marriage was never going to be successful again, she still was holding out for something, and she asks Charlie if she can have his sperm to have another baby.
Yeah, and she wants all of her kids to have the same dad. It's kind of sweet.
So that makes me think she really cares about him as a person and loves him. And Charlie got engaged to Brooke Mueller in 2007, right at the time that Denise is asking Charlie if he'll donate his sperm to have another baby with her.
And I don't know if I'd want it then.
I know.
And be like, you know what? Like, we have some business we need to finish, and you're doing that shit. Like, I don't even want it.
I know. What's she gonna do? Like, all of a sudden have another baby and then say, okay, this one gets supervised visits too. Right. You don't even get to see this one.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Did she actually get the sperm? Did she do anything with it?
No, they fought over it. And throw another woman into the mix. I'm sure Brooke Mueller was no fucking way.
Yeah, are you gonna have my guy's sperm?
I'm not getting married to you, and you're not gonna have another baby with your ex-wife. That's crazy.
Yeah, that would have been a put off too. He's putting everybody off in this situation.
I know. And they fight about this. And then she says, fine, I don't want your sperm anymore. And then, and then Denise even does an interview on Larry King and has to tell the whole world, okay, Charlie, stop with the sperm. I don't want your sperm anymore. Because he's just going around telling everyone that Denise wants my sperm and I'm not giving it to her.
That does sound like he played it up in a really negative way. And she's like, man, I'm trying to be genuine. Like, this is what I want for my family. And you're trying to make it look like, oh, she still wants me, so I'm just going to give her just my sperm. Like, no, she's like, I'm not fucking you anymore. But I would like to have all my children with the same DNA.
I know. And I think when she went on that interview with Larry King, she was trying to say, like, okay, sorry, I asked him. He said, no, I don't want it anymore. The situation's over. Mm-hmm. Well, this just fuels Charlie's fire. Oh, then he, like, releases all these emails to the press. And he's like, she wants my sperm. I think she was just trying to say, like, okay, we're...
That
we're,
has passed.
We're moving on, Charlie.
Like, never mind, that is done.
I know. And they just fight over it. They get in a Twitter war over it. This just goes on for a year.
Oh my God.
I know.
And she doesn't even want it. Like, shut up.
In 2008, Charlie finally marries Brooke. Then in 2009, Charlie and Brooke have twin sons.
So now, I forgot he had twins.
Right. And things are never good between Brooke and Charlie. Brooke is a drug addict, and she's not good for Charlie. Charlie gets in a lot of trouble. He gets arrested for assaulting Brooke. They take the two boys away, and this is the end of everything.
I forgot he has twins.
Right.
What the fuck are you doing?
What are you doing, Charlie?
Can somebody help him just rein it in a little bit?
I think no one could help Charlie. He wasn't letting anybody get him help. And I also think the problem is when he was going into rehab, he wasn't dealing and managing his bipolar disorder.
Those are two different beasts.
He needed a physician to manage his bipolar disorder that was also working with the doctors that were trying to get him sober in rehab.
Yeah.
In 2009, Charlie gets arrested for assaulting Brooke. Police come. They take the little boys out of the home. Charlie finally decides he's going to surrender legal custody of Sam and Lola to Denise Richards. It finally seems like it's going to be over by 2010.
So Brooke couldn't take care of the twins because she was also on drugs, so that was not an option.
That wasn't an option. Denise finally sees at this point he's having lots of problems with Brooke. He's assaulted her. They've removed the two boys from the home, so she files with the court a motion to say, okay, this is finally over. I'm going to have sole custody of the children. You're not going to get to see them at all because things are so bad for Charlie right now.
How crazy is it that she took in his kid? These twins are her children's half-siblings. And that's just really big of her to say, okay, we can get all the kids together and get them in a safe place. She still has his back.
You're right. Denise is a saint here to say this bad thing happened and they were going to go in the foster system if someone couldn't take care of them. So Denise takes Max and Bob and lets them live with her for a year. And finally, Brooke's parents say that they're going to take the boys in. So the situation does resolve itself. But yeah, Denise was amazing to Charlie again.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie doesn't contest custody when Denise files it after this event happens.
For the sole custody.
But he still does have visitation rights, but they're supervised. And like I said before, Denise is still making a huge effort to have Sam and Lola be a part of Charlie's life, for them still to be a family. Denise and the kids fly to where Charlie is in October. He's going to have visitation, supervised visits in a hotel room with his children. Charlie completely screws this up. He gets a hotel room across across from where he's supposed to be having supervised visits with his kids, and he has prostitutes in the room, he's doing drugs, and the therapist that's doing the supervised visits calls Brooke and says, this is over, you have to come pick up the kids, and he goes ballistic.
But what the fuck are you doing? Like, you have a few days to see your kids. See your kids. Go do all that other shit another time. Seriously, what was he thinking?
I don't know what he was thinking. He was off the rails completely. He was not thinking clearly. He was not making good decisions. He gets so upset. Denise has to come pick up the kids that he does $7,000 worth of damage to the hotel room. He just goes crazy. There's an incident where he throws the lamp at the prostitute. Then he ODs.
I think even if you're totally messed up, you should still be protecting your kids and doing what's best for them. I can't believe he couldn't separate those two things and say, oh, I have 2 days to see my kids. This is what I'm doing.
He was a drug addict and he couldn't pull it together for even one night to see his kids. And it was bad. He had to be hospitalized because he had
over... What did he OD on?
Probably cocaine.
Yeah, that is his choice, isn't it?
Yes.
You
know,
he talked about 8-Balls and stuff. Is 8-Balls cocaine?
I think so. I don't know. I've never done cocaine. After this incident, he gets himself cleaned up. He's hospitalized, so I'm sure he's back in rehab now. After he gets sober, you are never going to believe what he does.
Hopefully he's kind of on the right track right now.
This is going to blow your mind. Charlie has always had this obsession with drugs and alcohol and prostitutes.
Why?
Why? I mean, it's going to blow your mind. So remember, even though he's out of rehab, and he's clean and sober for the moment, his mania is taking over. He decides he's going to start a relationship with 2 porn stars, and he's going to move them into his house to help him take care of Max and Bob.
Oh, wow. I'm sure the court will absolutely love having 2 adult film stars take care of children.
You have to see this. I have the interview where Charlie talks about his relationships with Bree Olson and Natalie Kenley.
No.
He's just off the deep end. Let's listen to what he has to say about this relationship.
What gets you up in the morning? What makes you want to embrace the day and stay clean and enjoy your
Hello.
Life?
Hello. My family, my beautiful, perfect, lovely family. That just it's just pure magic. And I keep looking around going, wow, not only do I deserve this, but it's like, it's on.
What is on is Charlie Sheen's version of the modern family. 3 times divorced with 5 children, Sheen now lives with Natalie Kenley, 24, seen here as a marijuana magazine cover girl, and Rachel Oberlin, 24, also known as Bree Olson, a porn star, and one of many Sheen has a shine for.
So let's party.
We win so radically in our underwear before our first cup of coffee, it's scary. People say it's lonely at the top, but I sure like the view.
I mean, it works well.
It's not all about you.
No. Look at these 2. Wow. Who's got it better than me? I'm just going to hang out right here.
It's no secret that you have an affinity for porn stars.
Well, I mean, wow, listen to that statement.
Why?
Well, look at what they do. Look at what I do. Duh.
You know, you say duh, but I don't get it. What is it?
It's exciting, it's fun, and you already know what you're getting before you meet them.
Because you've watched them.
No, because I'm guessing right. Well, of course. What's not to watch? They're the best at what they do, and I'm the best at what I do, and together it's like, it's on. Sorry, Middle America. Yeah, I said it.
Do you want to marry Charlie?
It's too soon to tell.
I would love to marry Charlie.
Today, Sheen fancies himself as a modern Hugh Hefner inside his home he calls Silver Valley Lodge.
It's not like a wild scene with jealous girls and ex-wives and all this kind of stuff. It's all very, we all love Charlie, you know?
We're just hanging out with each other, you know? There's not any partying going on. You know, we're just hanging out. We're normal people.
That is so disturbing. Obviously, they're not very into it.
I can't get over the fact that he says, well, duh, you know what you're going to get before you get them, because he's watched them on pornos.
Yeah, like you're saying, you're a pervert and you have money. So you have a 22-year-old and 24-year-old living in your house.
He's clearly manic at this point, and he calls them the goddesses.
I don't even know if this is mania. I think this is just the narrative that he's told himself for so long, and he just believes it.
He doesn't think there's anything wrong with this. He doesn't think that anything he's doing is inappropriate, and the whole world is appalled by his actions. He tweets out, born ready, winning.
What is he winning? He's not winning anything. He's winning making himself look stupid. I think that's all he's winning here.
He thinks that he's winning in life and that he's on top of the world.
Like, does he really think that this situation is going to last?
It didn't last very long at all. In fact, they both left him after just a couple months. I'm sure they realized, like, this is completely fucked up.
And they're probably laying there like, I don't want to be doing this shit. Like, maybe he's not the best at what he thinks he's the best at, because maybe otherwise they would have stayed.
Or probably the parties weren't starting like they thought. I'm sure they were there thinking that they were going to be involved in these iconic Hollywood movie star parties that Charlie had been famous for throwing, where he was spending $100,000 a night on a party.
Like Great Gatsby shit.
Yes, it was. It was like some Great Gatsby shit. This tweet landed Charlie Sheen a spot in the Guinness Book of World Records.
They have Guinness Book of World Records Twitter competition stuff going on? Like, what?
No. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records for having the fastest time to reach 1 million followers on Twitter ever.
Even up to now?
Even up to now.
Wow.
And now, guess how long it took him to reach 1 million followers?
I mean, that would take some days, right?
It took him 25 hours and 17 minutes to reach 1 million followers. After he sent this tweet, everybody started following Charlie Sheen.
I'm sure they were like, what the fuck are you talking about? Because we haven't seen you do anything in forever.
He tweeted out, hashtag winning, with a link to a picture of himself and those two porn stars, Brie Olsen.
It had that picture attached to it. Yeah, people are going to be like, what the fuck is going on? Where's your kids, man? And your beautiful ex-wife? Where's that? I mean, who came up with, let's see, the fastest time it took to get to here? You could just make anything up.
I do know that it has to be measurable. It has to be something that you can break. Mm-hmm. Has to be something that you can standardize. Has to be able to be repeated and someone can surpass you on it. I know they also have some other rules, like you can't harm animals.
But you can post a picture with some porn stars. We'll put that in here.
We'll put that in the Guinness Book of World Record. You know what the most retweeted tweet of all times is?
What?
Do you remember when we talked about Elon Musk and the Japanese billionaire that's gonna go on Elon Musk's spaceship in 2023 to the moon?
Right.
He has the most retweeted tweet of all times. It was retweeted 4.4 million times.
What did he say? Just that he's going?
No, he said in 2019, he offered 1 million yen, which is like $10,000, to 100 randomly select people who would retweet his tweet and follow his account.
Oh my gosh, I will. Please, I'm sign me up. Shit.
I know.
But why are you paying people to do that? Like, yeah, and you know what? I'm sure that kind of put him on the map.
After the incident where Charlie has completely made a mess of his visits with his children in the hotel room, and then he's moved on now from
living with porn stars.
They are doing well in the friendship department. They're co-parenting their children. Denise says that Charlie can see the kids as long as he's sober. I mean, there were a few years, like after everything settled down, where he had given up custody of his two kids. Denise had really helped him out with his two sons. And they were doing a good job co-parenting, and things seemed to be going really well for the two of them. And I think this probably has something to do with the fact that Denise learns that Charlie's HIV positive. I think Charlie had just gotten so sick of people extorting him for money who had found out that he was HIV positive. Charlie was saying that he paid over $10 million to people just to keep them quiet.
And why would you do that? Because it's eventually going to come out and it'd be fucking prostitutes. It's probably why those girls left.
Charlie was living this super crazy lifestyle where he was having unprotected sex with prostitutes. He was abusing drugs. And what do you think was going to happen? I listened to the interview that he did on Good Morning America with Matt Lauer, where he admits to the world that he's HIV positive.
Yeah, I mean, at some point you're going to have to just come out with it.
Right. Do you want to hear the interview?
I do. And it was on Good Morning America.
He ends up disclosing to the world that he's HIV positive on Good Morning America.
Wow.
Charlie Sheen is known to millions for his award-winning body of work on television and in the movies. But this morning, he's here to talk about something immensely personal and private. Charlie, good morning. Good to see you.
Good to see you, man.
How you been?
Good, good, good. Thank you so much.
There are a lot of rumors
out
there right now, and you would like to address them head on, so I'll give it to you.
Go ahead. I have to, yeah. I'm here to admit that I am, in fact, HIV positive.
How long have you known about this? When were you diagnosed?
Roughly 4 years ago.
4 years you have been trying to keep this secret.
Yeah.
And you have said that you have been the victim of betrayal and extortion. You told me that a lot of people have actually demanded money to stay silent about this.
That is true. Yeah, yeah. And I've paid.
About lawsuits filed against you here, Charlie. We're talking about shakedowns.
We're talking about shakedowns. Talking about shakedowns, yeah.
Is it true that on at least one occasion, you had a prostitute come over to your house who, after a sexual encounter, went into your bathroom and with a cell phone took an image of your antiretroviral medication?
That's correct, yeah.
And then threatened to sell that image to the tabloids?
Yes, this is after after I told her that, thank you for your time, we're not going to see each other anymore. It was after she spent the day at, you know, health food store buying me, you know, herbal medications.
Are you still paying?
To help me.
Are you still paying some of these people?
Not after today, I'm not.
How sad for him. I mean, he was really paying people not to talk about this instead of just confronting it.
On one hand, I feel so sorry for Charlie Sheen that he's HIV positive. But on the other hand, that's the consequence for his actions. I mean, what did he think was going to happen?
I hope he told that prostitute what was going on with him. That is some scary shit.
She must have known what she was looking for. I think that he originally thought he was doing the responsible thing by telling these women that he was HIV positive, not realizing that they were going to extort him for money.
Yeah.
That's just so sad for Charlie. I mean, $10 million he paid people.
At least he finally got to the point where he's like, I'm done giving all this money away. Like, I'm getting older. I'm not looking so good. I'm probably not going to be screwing that much. So let's just out with it. On Good Morning America.
Oh, my God. Well, Denise really feels sorry for Charlie. He goes off his HIV medication in 2015. And he's sick. I mean, he needs help. He thinks he's going to go to Mexico and just
be magically healed.
Yes, and be magically healed. He convinces Denise to move into the estates that he's living in Beverly Hills on Mulholland Road. And she does. She moves into a house very close to Charlie so she can get up in the middle of the night if he needs help at 2 a.m. Charlie says he's going to buy this house for her. He's going to pay for her to live there. And so Denise does it. She uproots her life. She moves to one of the most famous neighborhoods in Hollywood where Charlie Sheen lives. And Charlie completely screws her over.
Of course he did. And this is the only person in the world who's going to help you at this point.
I don't feel like anybody has helped Charlie as much as Denise. You're right. Mm-hmm. She's the only one sticking by his side and helping him. She could have completely destroyed his reputation Hollywood.
She could have made sure that he never saw his children again.
Right. She did. She could have taken his children away. She could have bashed him in the media. She could have tweeted terrible things about him. Mm-hmm. She could have done interviews where she says he's this terrible person. She could have outed him on his HIV status. I mean, she was aware of it and she protected him this whole time.
So how did he end up screwing her? Did he flake on the house?
Yes. He doesn't end up giving the house to her and she ends up having to move. Denise gets super mad about it and she sues Charlie for $1.2
million. I would too. And be like, look, jerk, I'm doing this to help you out and to make sure you don't die.
Then they end up fighting again. They get into this huge fight in 2016 where they're sending these texts to each other.
Yeah, and now she has to find another house and move and do all these things. It's expensive, especially in Hollywood.
Exactly. It's expensive in Hollywood. I don't know what he was thinking being so terrible to her.
I don't think he's clear.
No. And then he even tells his oldest daughter that he's going to kill her and her mom.
That's sick.
I know. So she calls the police. The police have to get involved. Things don't go well for them. I just feel so sorry for Denise. She has a really stable life. She has a really stable marriage without Charlie Sheen in the picture. I mean, imagine Denise Richards' life. I feel like she was kind of a talented actress. She could have maybe broken into the movie scene and been much more successful than she was.
Yeah, sound like she was always dealing with some bullshit. So you can only do what you can.
It's true. That is so true. This time, she does have a career. She's making her own money. She's not ever given Charlie a really hard time. Charlie's not paying child support. I mean, he's blown tons of money on drugs, sex, alcohol, these crazy parties that he had, spending millions and millions and millions of dollars funding his party lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So she hasn't been getting the child support and the alimony that she was awarded during their settlement.
Yeah, that's going to land you back in court.
That's going to land you back in court. So in 2019, Denise files a motion. Charlie owes almost $500,000 back in child support.
If that's what you owe, that's what you owe.
Yeah, it is what it is. Denise says that he spent $24 million during that time in his life from like 2008 till 2016, $25 million on parties.
That's crazy. What are you doing, man? Who is managing his money?
Right. I think he was managing his own money. Right. So after all this time, it's 2019, Denise and Charlie are back in court again. He is pretty much broke and he has to sell his house on Mulholland Drive. He's really regret some of the decisions that he's made in his life. He's at a point now where he's sober. He's really cleaned up his life and looking back at all the things that he's done.
He can't go and do any of that stuff anymore because this whole thing was drugs and sex. Now he, who are you going to have sex with?
Right now he's HIV positive and broke. Yeah. No, it's so sad for Charlie Sheen. I actually have an interview that he does talking about where he's at this point in his life.
Charlie, I think this is on many guys' bucket list to smoke a cigar with you.
Wow, I would have had some scotch had I known.
No, we're not going to have scotch.
We're not having scotch.
Is that the first idea that triggered the cigar?
Well, that or brandy or something. Something brown.
Charlie, you're off the wagon. Don't let me... Oh, you're on the wagon. No, what is it? It's off the wagon. I was confused.
Off the wagon.
You're off the wagon.
No, I'm just more of a beer guy these days, you know?
Yeah. You do still drink a little bit.
I do, yeah.
But not the hard liquor.
Nah, that's what things just kind of just go from here to there.
With drugs, just then you don't do that.
No, no. It's not fun anymore, you know?
No.
Too much wreckage. Too many depositions. Too much explaining. And you just don't feel good, you know?
Because now he's sober, clean. What does he do on a Wednesday night now?
I was in Malibu at my mom's house for her birthday.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's there's such a sense of victory. And just in the morning, just waking up and working out and embracing the day and returning calls. And even if you do nothing all day, but you're available to do positive stuff and help people out.
So you'd spend a lot of time with the kids. It's basically a quieter existed.
Yeah. But you know, if I could do it again, if I could go back to that moment where I kind of forced their hand, I think I would have stayed.
Yeah?
I think I would have stayed. Yeah. Yeah, why not? How bad could it have been, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so
it's hindsight.
When you're in something, you don't have the wherewithal to or the optics to really see, you know, what is right and what is real and what really matters, and just take yourself out of it and fucking relax and just shut the fuck up and go back to work. Yeah. There's that.
It took me a minute to realize that he was talking about staying at Two and a Half Men. I mean, yeah, in hindsight, he should have stayed there because he had it made.
Right. He was doing drugs and he had a manic episode. And one night he got on and completely went on a rant against the producer, which got him fired from Two and a Half Men. And you can really see it in Charlie's face, how sad he is and how much he regrets that time in his life. If he hadn't have done that, where he would be today, he would be financially secure and he would probably still be in Hollywood. I mean, he's been banned from Hollywood.
He's talking about, oh, I can wake up and be available. Like, what the, that is life. Like, so right. And so now he's at a point where he can actually do life and participate in life, where before he just thought it all revolved around him.
I think that Hollywood really altered his perception of reality. I think once he got into Hollywood, it's that dark Hollywood that we talk about, he thought that life was like this and that was normal and that's the way it should be for people. And he was entitled to this extravagant lifestyle. I think that he didn't understand because he'd never lived a normal life. He'd never lived in a suburb of Kansas City and realized that that's not how normal people live. That's not the real world. He just had this alternate perception of reality from dark Hollywood.
Sad that it took him that long to figure it out, but at least he has.
So many times famous people who have gone through some really rough times can make a difference and a positive influence in other people's lives. I mean, Charlie Sheen could totally come out and be a spokesperson for mental health and drug and alcohol abuse and really talk about his experiences. Denise did such a good job making sure that their daughters had a very good relationship with their dad. And almost too good, I think, because I don't feel like she showed them how disturbed of an individual he really was.
No, she had to hide a lot of that from them.
She hid, and she does. She talks about how much she hid from them. Now, in 2021, their daughter, Sammy, wants to go live with Charlie. And she does. She's 17. I mean, Denise doesn't have any control anymore.
And now she's living with Charlie.
I would die.
I know. I'd be so worried.
Be like, absolutely not. That is not the environment for you to be in. That's not good.
Just because at any moment, Charlie has shown the propensity to fall off the wagon mm-hmm. and have prostitutes in his house and think he can marry two of them and create this alternate reality of a life for himself. And so it's scary to have a child living under his roof.
It is. And I do think that there are a lot of parents who try to not let their children be included in any of the adults, quote, adult things that are going on. I think that really puts kids at a disadvantage. Kids are not stupid. They should be informed. This is bad and this is going on and it is what it is and this is what we can do about it.
Right. Maybe we have the conversation about daddy's a drug addict and an alcoholic and mentally ill.
Real talk.
Right. So it scares me that she's living in his house right now. Denise says in interviews that she's really sad that Sammy chose to live with her father full time after she spent all this time raising her. And she just said that Charlie didn't support the rules at Denise's house. There aren't any rules at Charlie's house. And what teenager doesn't want to be in the house without rules?
And two, you know, he would love to redeem himself. But I think too, as a mom, even though it can be hard, sometimes you have to let your kids go so they can figure it out for themselves. And they'll get there.
They'll get there. I agree. And raising teenagers is hard.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, her daughter's going to end up coming back. She's going to need her mom.
I think so too. Or hopefully, you know, Charlie does stay sober and stay clean, get his life on track, and he's able to be successful with his daughter and all of his other children in all these later years. That would be the ideal situation. Charlie shouldn't have said, yeah, I'm sorry you don't like the rules at your mom's house. Come live with me. There won't be any rules. And I know you hate school, so I'm cool with you dropping out of high school.
Yeah, I mean, he could have got her there and said, okay, listen, that's fine if you don't want to go to high school anymore. We're going to do this online and we're going to get this done. Like, you still don't have an option here, but there's another way we can do it. Like, be a father.
Right. It's because it's not like she was having trouble in school. There's a difference if you're having trouble and your parents are like, we as parents are supporting our children for like, okay, this is a bad situation. You're going to get your GED and we're going to be supportive of this. No, she's just like, I don't want rules. I don't want to go to school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he should have stepped up there.
Yeah. Now we're up to 2021. Remember, Denise filed for divorce in 2005. They're still in court.
Well, that's really sad. God, what is it going to take for this man to realize that this is probably the only person in the world who is for you?
I know.
Like, the only one, Charlie. She's the only one.
I know. I feel like Denise is probably fine, but she does still have one teenager in the house. Anyway, a judge ruled that he didn't have to pay child support anymore.
I think that she has enough on her own to just do it and figure it out. And she, no matter what, she is just going to figure it out.
From the time they got married in 2000, they fought for 21 years.
Yeah, and still going. Like, something else will come up.
Poor Denise.
I hope her daughter ends up graduating high school or obtaining her GED and moving on to something positive in her life. I hope that Charlie can step up and be a good dad and facilitate her growing up and moving into adulthood.
Me too. I hope that too. Probably what'll happen though is that she'll go into Hollywood and be an actress. That's what I think. I think that Charlie will use his connections and she'll start the same process over that Charlie did.
You can do it in a positive way and you can have that job and you can be a good person and be successful in life and have a family. I mean, she's seen her mom do it pretty well with chaos. She's seen her dad in complete chaos.
I hope she doesn't follow in Charlie's footsteps. Remember when we were talking about Denise moving next door to Charlie on Mulholland?
Right.
This road is like one of the most famous streets in Hollywood. I can't believe all of the actors and actresses that live on Mulholland Road. I had no idea.
Like, oh, it's when all the biggest movie stars are neighbors or biggest comedians.
Yes.
And Oprah Winfrey.
Yes. I don't think Oprah has a house there, but Jack Nicholson has a house there. Marlon Brando.
Wow. Like the big
Madonna.
Timers.
Yes. Oh, wow. Yes. And then there's like the rich side of the street and the poor side of the street. So it's like the nice side where it overlooks all of Hollywood and the city, and then the other side where you don't quite have the view, that's the Charlie Sheen and the $8 million houses. On the other side, you have Madonna and
the big, big ones.
The big, big ones with the great view of the whole city.
So does he still live in that house?
He doesn't. He actually sold his house to Kendall Jenner.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think he was asking like $10 million and she bought it for a lot less than he asked for it, like $8 million or something.
That's crazy. I mean, you'd have to do a deep clean of that. You could walk in somewhere and just be high as a kite and not even know why.
And I wonder what even prompted her to buy that house.
Just to get on that street. You know, I'm sure in Hollywood, that's pretty significant that you've arrived, that you've made it.
Yeah, it's like Celebrity Row when you go to college and all the sorority houses are on one side and the fraternity houses on the other, and fraternity and sorority row. It's like Celebrity Row where all the cool celebrities want to live in Hollywood.
That's pretty cool that she bought his house.
Do you think that Charlie Sheen deserves Hollywood to give him a second chance? Or do you think he's just done too much damage?
A lot of time will have to pass. I think time will have to pass so people can forget about all of this. And maybe when he's older, he can get an old man role. You know, I think that might be okay.
Right.
But I think right now, nobody's giving him anything.
But if he would come out and show the world that he's been clean and sober, that he's really made a change and can have a positive influence on society, then you're right. Maybe in 10 years, he could make a comeback.
Well, this has been really fun talking about the two of them. Thank you guys for tuning in. You know, you can always hit us up on our email, give us any feedback, any conversation. We would love to hear from you.
We love to read those emails.
We do.
All right, let's go open a bottle of wine and talk about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard.
All right, we'll see you guys next weekend.
Have a nice weekend.